We are reading first the New Testament lesson from James because our Old Testament passage for the message is from Proverbs. So we'll start with the New Testament and work back to Proverbs. I'll be reading James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And now we turn back to the Old Testament. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 1, we'll read the first seven verses of the book of Proverbs, which is right after Psalms. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Sends the reading of God's holy word. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, you have given us this word. It is challenging and delightful at the same time. We pray that we would meditate upon it well. May our hearts meditate upon this word and that means to grow in it and act upon it. May the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we are doing a summer series on the book of Proverbs, interrupting our time in the book of Matthew. We will, Lord willing, return to Matthew later. But now we're going to do some work in the book of Proverbs. And this will culminate in chapter 9. We won't get to all the passages from this place to chapter 9, but we'll be doing some of them. And I may have a surprise in the middle. So this is a catechism for the church of the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs, in particular, chapters 1 through 9, are a book with unity to it, and they act as a kind of catechism. They're addressed primarily to people who are growing up in the Old Testament church. And this is aimed at them, but also notice in verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning, both young people and older people growing in wisdom. So it's not addressed only to young people, but it is certainly particularly profitable for them. Now, Proverbs are not unique to the Bible or to a biblical world. People outside the Bible's world have proverbs and wisdom texts which are very similar. It is interesting how sometimes people criticize Jesus with the golden rule, and they say, well, you can find the golden rule elsewhere. By the way, it's in the Old Testament. So, as if he has to say something unique for it to be true. This is the same with Proverbs. There are things here which are not exactly unique, though they are, they have a certain slant and focus on them, which are different when you start reading outside the Bible to the world around the Bible and what they were actually saying wisdom is. Let me give you an example of this. This is from Egypt, ancient Egypt, from a teacher. His name is Amen M. Opet. So let me read to you a section from his wisdom treatise here. As for the heated man of a temple, he is like a tree growing in the open. In the completion of a moment comes its loss of foliage, and its end is reached in the shipyards, or it is floated far from its place, and the flame is its burial shroud. But the truly silent man holds himself apart. He is like a tree growing in a garden. It flourishes and doubles its yield. It stands before its Lord. Its fruit is sweet. Its shade is pleasant, and its end is reached in the garden. So this is from an ancient Egyptian book of wisdom. It's interesting there, the heated man, this is really a man of quick temper. You can tell from the way he describes it here. And if you read through his short treatise, you see that's the case. It's the man with this quick temper who is quick to anger and strike out with his mouth against his neighbor versus the truly silent man. I don't think that means he never says anything, but he holds his temper. I think that's the point. And what's interesting is this has got some similarities to wisdom in the Bible. You know, notice he's like a tree. Sounds like some of the biblical analogies as well. But interestingly, in the end, the wisdom that you find around in the world is very interesting because it focuses on the benefits to us. It's very opportunistic. It's very similar to reading wisdom and directions of a business. You know, you can get these kind of ideas in businesses where they're directing employees how to get along and do well in the business and put the best foot forward for the profit of the business. And that's kind of what you have here. Now, this is not unique to Egypt. If you were to read about ancient Greece, you find that they were very much interested in philosophy. And, you know, the word philosophy means, in its etymology, in its background, love of wisdom. You know, that's what the two words mean that compose the word philosophy, love of wisdom. They were very much interested in wisdom, and they had certain kind of proverbs. I don't know if you've ever heard of a fellow named Menander. He was an ancient Greek playwright, very, very popular, a comic playwright, very lighthearted and silly plays, Menander. And he wrote in one of his plays, "Bad company corrupts good morals." Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 15. That's where it's found. So it comes from Menander. Paul quotes it and says, "This is true. You know, this is a good proverb." And this is from the ancient Greeks, and they were very much interested in this sort of thing. But when we look at the Proverbs of Solomon, there's some really interesting things about them that are important for us to focus on. These are Solomon's own wisdom, which he was very well known for. But also notice in verse 6, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So Solomon is not pretending to have originated everything here. He's both composing and collecting wisdom. So the words of the wise are from other people that he's adapting and showing that there is a certain core of wisdom there. Solomon's own wisdom was proverbial. You read in 1 Kings 4, people came from all around. He was the talk of his world, how wise he was, how insightful he was into the world in which we live and providing good advice in difficult, tangled situations. Life is messy, And wisdom is sometimes needed to untangle and know what to do in certain situations. And Solomon had certain insights into that. So some of this is we're going to find insight into how to get along in difficult circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, some of these proverbs, you all know, are very short, particularly after chapter 9. You just have these really one or two verse proverbs, although some are a little longer. So verse 20, really going to the end, is quite a bit longer. Verses 20 to 23 of chapter 1 is, you know, quite a long saying, and it's almost like a little story here. And then notice also that that part of what Solomon is collecting is not just proverbs, but among other things, riddles. So this is verse 6, the words of the wise and their riddles. So you have these riddles. Now, if you've been here in the last month or so, you know, going through Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told some riddles, didn't he? They were called parables, and they had a certain character to them that you couldn't perceive the meaning without him explaining them. It had a certain hiddenness to what he's saying. And Jesus himself says that, and then he unfolds his meaning to us, his disciples. That was what we saw so far in Matthew 13. So the riddles of the wise, we're very interested in carrying this over into our Matthew series in the future. Now, one of the things we're going to see is the content of wisdom, because what Solomon is doing is laying out, really, what this initial book of Proverbs is doing. Now, when I say book, I mean chapters 1 through 9. We'll call that a book. It's a separate composition. And he's laying out what he's going to provide in this initial catechetical book, as it were, in Proverbs 1 through 9. And the content is seen in particular with its purpose, which we see in verses 2 through 6. So read through that with me now, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. And let's focus on the verbs here. So first, to know wisdom and instruction, to know. The second one in the second half there, to understand, to know and to understand. Now verse 3, to receive. Verse 4, to give. And then back in verse 6, to understand. So we have repetition there. We have to know, to understand, to receive, to give, and then verse 6, to understand. What's kind of fun here is there's some wordplay going on here. To understand in the language that Solomon is writing with is, well, I'll just give it to you. The core of it is being. This is when you're learning Hebrew, you always have to figure out how to remember these words because they sound so different. But that one was easy. Being, you use the old being to understand. Pretty good, huh? Hey, it lasted me for the last long time when I studied Hebrews last, 1984. So you use the old being to understand. Now, what's interesting here is the word for insight in our... So look at the end of verse 2. To understand words of insight. Well, that's bina. That's the noun related to being. So to understand words of understanding. There's a word play going on there. Understand, understanding. And insight is fine. I think that's helpful. But you can see this punning going on. Now, there's other stuff like this going on. This is probably not right, but you know, when I was looking at the Hebrew early in the morning, I'm looking at this going, what in the world? So it opens the Proverbs of Solomon. It's his sayings. And it's interesting, it has the first word, these sayings, The words there, if you switch the last character and put it in front, you get Solomon. So the words, switch the last character into the front, just move it to the front, and you get Solomon. So the words of Solomon kind of a funny connection there between the words and sayings of Solomon and Solomon himself. This is what you're going to find here. This is kind of a playful, poetic, fun kind of exercise to study this stuff. This is not some sort of plodding, difficult thing. This is really where the delight of wisdom opens up before you with these kind of playful things going on in our text. So you should look at wisdom as something that you really want to investigate and to search into. And notice that this is all about knowing and understanding, and then also to receive and give. That's the opposite, right? To give and to receive. So you can receive wisdom and insight, and you can give it. And that leads to even more understanding. I think there's a reason why understand appears twice in this sequence. It's the thing that really kind of underlined here. You will gain insight and understanding into things. You know, the world takes understanding. And you say, well, the world's a lot different because we have electronics and we have social media. We have all this stuff. If you want to see our world, study history, okay? People haven't changed. It's the same dynamics with just different technology, but it's the same stuff going on. Nothing is clearer to see that than if you just study history. Now, when it says to know wisdom and instruction in verse 2, I think this is where you need to understand that knowing here is more than an intellectual exercise. This is really experiencing it. And this is what we're going to find with Proverbs and with our section of Proverbs we're dealing with. Solomon is going to help us develop a penetrating insight into our world and how the world works and how you can navigate in the world. Now, I'm not making up that word, navigate. It's actually said here in verse 5 at the end, the one who understands obtain guidance. That word can actually be translated navigate, navigation. Steering, like steering a ship. That the wise can understand how to steer their lives, how to navigate in the shoals of life. Shoals are rocky places. Go to the Oregon coast. You want to see. That's why they call everything by the devil on the Oregon coast. It isn't because they were worshiping the devil. It's because in a wooden sailing ship where you have prevailing wind going toward the rocks, those rocks are your chief danger. And a lot of wooden ships wound up on those rocks and people died. This is a very serious thing to have shoal waters in a sailing ship. So Solomon is going to help us to understand life. And we're going to learn both from his instruction, but also from the success and failures of others. They're recorded here, as it were, as well as in Scripture. So you're going to be able to gain the advantage of seeing how other people navigate life and whether they make wise choices or not and what results from their choices. This is what Solomon is going to help us do, is kind of lay down the lines for that kind of understanding. It's a very practical life experience instruction for us. Now, the audience that we have in this section of Scripture is rather obvious. First of all, notice he is going to give insight and instruction to the simple, verse 4, to the simple. Now, simple here means somebody who's gullible. And I don't mean gullible in a fun way. Sometimes we take advantage of people's gullibility and play practical jokes on them. But this is someone who's taken in by deceitful situations and teachings and thought. This is somebody who's gullible and simple who should not be. You'll find this in Scripture where people are sometimes reproved when the Bible says, you should be teachers by now of these things. You shouldn't be gullible to these. You shouldn't be taken in by these things. You should have studied these things and understand how to negotiate life on these matters. You can't stay simple all your life. This is for children, not you. You can't be gullible. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. Proverbs 14, verse 15. Also in verse 4, you have the young, the youth. So this is verse 4, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Now, the problem with being young, not really a problem, but it is an issue that you have to deal with being young, is you just don't have the experience. You haven't really encountered certain situations, and you don't really know what to do in those situations. Now, brothers and sisters, this is just a fact of life. Notice how Solomon is addressing us, real people. It could be 2,000 years ago, but it's still stuff we face today. There's nothing new that we experience. It's the same sort of thing. And young people need to learn these things. But you can learn them through instruction and study of the examples of Scripture, as well as the principles of how to live your lives wisely before the Lord. So this is addressed to the simple, the gullible person, and the young people. But also in verse 5, to the wise. So this is really now broadening out. Even wise people can learn more wisdom. You never arrive at full level of wisdom. I don't think Solomon thought he had really arrived, would be my guess, because that would be foolish. And he wasn't foolish. And then fourthly, to the understanding. So notice the wise and the understanding. The one who understands obtains guidance. So this is addressed to people who are varying ages and circumstances. This is really addressed to all of us. However, there's one group in verse 6 who is partially addressed in Proverbs and partially told they really have to start from the beginning, and that's the fool. Fools and scoffers. You're going to find the word scoffer in Proverbs quite a bit. And this is the fool who doesn't just reject the teaching of the Lord, but he scoffs at it. He trods it underfoot. He has no interest in these things. He is scoffing them. Now, brothers and sisters, you're saying, oh, well, the world's like that. This is not the world. This is a scoffer among the people of God. You know, he's writing to Israel. He's writing to his people. There were scoffers in the old covenant people of God who had rejected the teaching of the Lord in their midst. And this is rather obvious when you think about the exile. The fact that they were eventually exiled for their rejection of the wisdom of God and the teaching of the Lord, and even Solomon himself had some failures. But the fools despise wisdom and instruction. To understand a proverb and its saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, but the fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the end of verse 7, not verse 6. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, the content, briefly, of what we're dealing with is wisdom and wise dealing, words of the wise. So we're going to be looking at how Solomon has collected wise sayings that explain things and help us navigate life, but also he's going to give examples, and he's going to set up for us the kind of situations we may be facing and helping us know how to navigate them. He's going to give the sayings of understanding and insight. He's going to give us insight that we can gain by studying the insight from others as well as their lives. So there are riddles. It's interesting that you have these riddles, as I mentioned, similar to the Proverbs of Jesus. But remember, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and posed riddles to him, which he solved. This is because he was wise. He understood them. And these are riddles that deal with life situations and how you live your life through these difficult riddles, ridiculous sort of life situations we face. I used ridiculous because it comes from riddle. You understand that. So the key here is knowledge and understanding. It's both intellectual and practical. Notice verse 3b, in righteousness, justice, and equity. And this is very similar to what we read in James. James was trained in Proverbs. He was brought up with these things in a house, a godly household of the Old Covenant era. James is really on the transition into the New Testament. He's a brother of the Lord, and he was trained by Mary and Joseph in the Proverbs. He knew these things. He studied these things too from Proverbs. And then he gives his insight into wisdom when he calls upon you to see that wisdom is gentle and persevering. And, you know, we read that in James 3. It comes down from above. We're going to see that in the book of Proverbs. James didn't originate that. He finds it in the book of Proverbs, and he is gathering the wisdom of Solomon and helping us see it in a new, fresh way. This is interesting how the simple can learn prudence. So we have the simple or gullible person in verse 4. We're going to see that this person can gain in prudence. Very similar to what Jesus tells us in Matthew 10. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So you should be prudent. You should be thoughtful in your life and know what you're facing. To the young, he's offering discretion or shrewdness and prudence again. These are things where you take thought to your life. So this is the hard thing. This is somebody where we live from one impulse to another. We're like ping pong balls, or we're like those pinballs. Do they even have pinballs? Maybe they have pinball games on the computer, but it's like a pinball where you're just bouncing around and reacting to what you're hitting your life up against. And this is where studying these things will help give us understanding. Even if we haven't experienced them then yet, we can gain understanding into new situations by thoughtfully applying the principles here and learn discretion and prudence and even being shrewd. As Jesus has just told us about, like a serpent, we can have instruction and training. So to the wise, those of you who are wise, even you can learn from the wisdom that will be presented here. It is really what Solomon will say later, reprove a wise man and he will be wiser yet. And I read that not accidentally. Reprove a wise man, and he will be wiser still. And you would think to yourself, somebody who's wise doesn't need reproof. But in this world, even the wise need to be reproved, need to be have someone show them their error, that they can repent and become wiser. This is what Proverbs will help us to do. We will receive the reproof from Solomon here, as it were, as we put ourselves under this teaching. But also, brothers and sisters, this is the reproof of the Lord. This is something that is found throughout Scripture. The Lord reproves the one he loves. You should not take the reproof of the Lord as a sign of his hostility to you. It's a sign that you are one of his children. He's training you like a child, reproving you and having you, bringing you up short, that you would look at this situation and say, oh yeah, I've not been wise here. I need to change on this. I need to repent on this and turn to the Lord's ways on this. And now we have really what you can call the motto of Proverbs. It's going to come up again, verse 7. This is really the heart and soul of biblical wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And because of the way that's said, you can say this very well, and you can say this appropriately. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. And this is where we are going to end up in chapter 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Most Holy, that is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the very foundation of all of this. You cannot be wise unless you fear the Lord. Unless you are determined to be his disciple, you fear him and trust in him. This is not fear of the terror of a great judge. This is a fear of a father who loves you, but you respect him and you follow his direction in life. This is the fear of the Lord now. And that is what he calls upon all of us to engage in, to be wise. You have to have the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm not plopping this in here out of the blue. If you know how the Bible is structured, this should not be strange or foreign to you. If you want to know who's speaking to you here, it's Solomon. But through the Holy Spirit, it is the voice of the Word of God. This is the Son of God speaking to you, who is our wisdom. If you want to know who's speaking to you, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, through the Holy Spirit. The Son of God is giving you counsel here, and then he will reiterate and expand on this when he speaks to us in the New Covenant Revelation. But it's not new. He's already been speaking to us here. And he addresses you as my son. I can show you this. There's lots of evidence that this is true. Just because it's not what we're focusing on in our time. I want you to see that you are seeing and hearing the voice of your Savior here. And pretty soon, toward the end of this, you're going to hear wisdom calls from the high point of the city. Wisdom makes this universal call. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Learn of me. Learn my rules, for I am meek and lowly at heart. You come to me. This is our Savior's call to wisdom now. So, brothers and sisters, we are engaged in hopefully a fun and edifying thing. Fun because there's a lot of fun stuff in here. Edifying because this is getting down to life. We can learn from these things and grow in our wisdom together. So let us pray and ask God's blessing. We hear your voice, O Lord, and we are here to learn of you. We would be wiser yet, O Lord. Grant that our young people in particular would see these things and learn of them and know how to live their lives well before you. Who knows how long our lives will last? We put our trust in you and we fear you. And yet, O Lord, as you extend our lives, grant that we may walk in wisdom. We ask your blessing and favor as our Father who loves us. Help us to accept reproof and to learn wisdom that we may grow in insight and wisdom, the justice and righteousness and equity, discretion and understanding and receive your guidance. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.